committee to order this morning, and Steve, you was going to give us a report back on some of the questions there, and then we had some more work on Darrell's bill. So, why don't you lead off and lead us in, what do you?
Okay, if I could begin, Mr. Chairman, by explaining the capital improvement reductions. I failed to do that yesterday. If you look on your summary sheet, that's that very first.
This is it.
Right. Did you find that, Max?
The last item at the top.
Okay, yeah, right. Under capital improvement, if you follow that across, you'll notice that the legislative fiscal office adjustment is $107,000. Now, that $107,000 includes $35,000 general funds that were scheduled to remodel the governor's offices. If we pull the general fund, those general fund dollars out, then there will be no general fund dollars in Darrell's budget, and the budget could go ahead and move forward without any filing or complications of any kind. It would be totally other funds then. And if it's the committee's desires, you could also make a note here that it's your wishes that the Capital Construction Committee address including that $35,000 in the capital construction portion of the general services budget. That'll be handled by the Capital Construction Committee. Then there's $72,000 in addition to that that was scheduled for parking lots here on the mall. Recent action by the city would preclude tearing down mall houses and the construction of some of those graveled in parking lots. So there appears to be no need for the $72,000 in other funds at this point in time. That then comes up with $107,000 reductions for capital improvement projects. The next item, Mr. Chairman, deals with the governor's residence. And the subcommittee should probably instruct the executive department to include in the budget report a note of some sort to the effect that it's the intent of the legislature to set aside one mall house for the official use of the governor. The address on that is 796 Winter Street. Is that right, Frank? The building would be made available rent-free to the governor for use as a governor's residence and for use in official meetings and formal functions. The cost of maintaining the facility, including heat, utilities, and related operating expenses, would be paid by the Department of General Services, from other state-used mall housing revenues. In conjunction with that, the agency has also asked us to review with the committee two other issues. One is the separation of the private housing from the state housing. It seems like a good idea, and with the subcommittee's approval, Darrell can go ahead and proceed on that then to separate those out. And that would then include the governor's residence in with the state portion, and the private citizens would not be picking up or contributing in any way to the governor's grant.
That would be from the buildings that we rent out to the various agencies like the
Capital Planning Commission. In conjunction with that, they want to establish rental rates for the facilities used as private residences at levels which will at least cover the operating and overhead expenses, including depreciation. Plus, they'd also like to provide for a 5% to 10% return on the state's investment there.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
I have just one question.
Yes.
Is that where the governor is now? Is that the best house you have? Is that the best house? The largest and the best in repair and architecture or whatever?
No, I don't think so. I think there's one other house on the mall that's better architecture and better maintenance.
Larger and in better?
I believe it is larger.
How is it used?
State agency occupies it and has for a long time.
Where's that?
It's the one just north of the employment division, the white colonial house. on Summer Street. Very attractive house, colonial style.
Is it larger?
I think it is larger. It's two-story.
You know who's in there?
Frank says continuing education is in there.
Who?
Continuing education occupies it.
That wouldn't be so hard to move out.
It's probably a little late for us to do it because of the money we've invested in the governor's residence to bring it up to par.
All right.
Security and everything. Yeah.
I think that security's got a part to do with that creek.
I think a good point, Mr. Chairman, and also the creek offers an area, an open area that the governor can use for his large functions. So, you know, I guess I'm imparting my personal value on the house.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But the governor is quite happy, really, with the house that he's in from the standpoint of the formal activities that he has.
Right, right.
Okay.
Why ask it better?
No, but that's a good question. I never thought about it.
It is one that they could, if they ever needed to. Was the one problem he has, I think, is a small dining room that could be enlarged maybe sometime. If we do this, we can think in terms of of adding two, and you could enlarge that dining room, which would be quite this direction, and I think it would not be that much of a problem.
You know, if there was a better place, I'd be in favor of using it. But
if you make this the official, then you can feel like you can put some money into it to from time to time.
Okay, does that
modernize that? Things like that.
Yep.
Okay, we'll get on that.
Chairman, the next issue is one that the committee asked for. Pricing figures on. Package 275, the four positions. Dealing with the accounting deficiencies as a result of the audit of the agency. The sheet that I just handed out shows you two separate cost items. Can I give you
is this your last one, Steve?
No, this is my recommendation, Mr. Chairman, on this.
This is to restore what?
Okay, the committee expressed some interest in restoring the accounting positions in the administrative services. And yesterday, in my optional package, I included the cost of two positions. The two most important ones in that package of four, and that's the lower figures there, the 134, 395, two positions. And I've included there three positions then from package 233 for a cost of $136,221, which would help you to finance that or be an offset anyway to the add back there. If you want to add back the four positions, again, we're showing you how you can do that by deleting four positions from package 233. There are 10 positions in that package 233. And this is the cost.
What was package 233?
Okay, it was some restoration of some positions in the printing division. These particular positions, there's one of them is a compositor one, one is a printing press operator, and two bindery worker ones. All those positions are vacant at the current time, Mr. Chairman, and would probably remain vacant until workload increased at the printing plant.
No, they're authorized for 10 there, but there's four vacant positions.
Well, the package includes 10. Okay. Four of the 10 are vacant.
I would rather see us do that and put the four back into the accounting so you can get it on the real business-like basis that they're after. And that's a 4-year, 6-year program, you said, to get it back into shape.
And I think that's what I would rather do, too, at this point. What is that?
Talking about the top proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the way you are.
I certainly think that the four accounting positions are more important than the four printing positions.
And then if the workload, even on the workload, where the four vacancies you're talking about, if that increases it, I don't doubt but what there's some way we can help you on that later on if we have to.
Okay.
Okay.
We certainly do not need the four positions now. We laid them off last fall because of the downturn in workload. And if you believe that we could get those back if the workload goes up.
I think you'd have to. I don't know. Would you think so, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. If you could ever justify the workload, then it isn't that great. Because that's on a demand basis anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mr. Chairman, may I make a comment on that issue? I want to make sure that the committee understands that it's cheaper for us to have four positions in printing, doing workload and printing, than it would be for the agency to go ahead and contract out any increased workload. So if the workload does come, Darrell, I think that it would behoove you and the state for you to come quickly to us and tell us that the workload is increasing beyond what we anticipated in our budget, so that we don't end up contracting that work out.
That's very satisfying.
Okay. What else you got?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the next issue is a letter.
Oh, yeah, that's on the blue side.
Sent to you on the recyclable paper. If you'd like to address that issue, I've given a copy of the letter and some of the issues to Darrell, and all this.
Did
you receive, Mr. Chairman?
I don't remember the rest of the committee. Did you get a copy? This was sent to me yesterday. It was signed by Senator Burbidge and Senator Fabry of some of their problems with the recycling of paper. And you got over, did you? Could you give us some comments on it? Maybe you could bring us up to date what we're supposed to know. I'll have him make some copies so you all have a copy. I should have did that anyway, but I forgot it.
Go ahead, Darrell.
Okay.
This is sorting the paper, wasn't it, or something?
Right. In Salem, we do not... We have a project with the Garten Foundation for recycling paper in Salem. And Garten has been doing this, I think, for 5, 6, 7 years, taking the paper out of the mall buildings and recycling it. I'm not entirely certain all of what Senator Burbidge and Senator Fadley's concerns are. I would assume that the material attached to their letter was written by the Garten Foundation because it deals precisely with the issues, the terms of the contract that we have been negotiating with them. And I guess I will address that perhaps. That may give you some insight. Currently, only about half of the paper is actually being recycled from the Capitol Mall. They are taking the cream of the paper. They're taking the tab cards and the good white paper, the slick white paper, that we have in a white paper waste collection system, almost a pure system, trying to get the white paper out to them. What they don't get in the other half is the colored paper and then a substantial amount of white paper as well that they are not taking. It's going to the landfill. And that is happening because it is difficult to get all of the white paper to one collection point, given the habits that we as employees have. To get all the white paper to Garten would require us for everybody to sit there and consciously make a decision, white paper goes in this basket and colored paper goes in this basket or carbon paper in this basket. And there has been a two-basket system for a number of years, starting back, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, the department first promoted a two-basket system. And there have been, in my judgment and in the staff's judgment, a lot of problems with that because it's not a natural instinct when you're sitting at your desk to stop and think, now wait a minute, is this going to the right basket or does it go in the left basket? A consequence has been, and it's the same instinct that we all have at our home, do we think about recycling or not think about recycling? Consequence has been that only half the paper is going out to Garten and the other half is going to the landfill. About 6 or 8 months ago, we approached the Garten Foundation and asked them to consider some alternatives in how we run our recycling, paper recycling here on the mall. We ask them to consider a system where we do not sort or separate between white and colored paper. We are prepared to sort the garbage out. But we said, why don't you take all of the paper? Don't send any of it to the landfill. Take it all. And why don't you do the sorting out at your plant? In other words, they would get some money for the additional paper that they would sell and take that money and hire additional handicapped individuals that would do the sorting out at their plant. Our objective is really not been to get more money, but our objective has been to get more paper recycled and not send it to the landfill. Garten Foundation came back to me about a month ago and said it was not practical, that the price of the paper was just not high enough to sustain this operation. And we accepted that, and I told the staff to write a six-month contract with a one-year renewal for Garten using the existing system rather than the mixing system, which they're opposed to. The objective there was that I was hoping the paper market would be up in 6 months, price-wise, such that it would bring in enough revenue to warrant them hiring additional staff to do the sorting out there. Now, I can only assume, this is a rather bitter critical statement that was attached to the letter.
You mean from
the last three pages are rather critical.
This one here.
Yes, last three pages are rather critical of the department, and I guess I was not aware that, if my assumption is correct, that Garten wrote this. I was not aware that Garten had those strong feelings. Certainly, I told them that I wanted them to move in the direction of taking more recycled paper, not just the cream of the paper. Certainly, I told them that I wanted them to considering hiring more staff to do the sorting out there rather than having the state worker do the sorting. But also made it clear that we were prepared to pay for that. I think that's good for the taxpayers, because when you consider that a handicapped individual that they hire at Garten is somebody who is going to be taken off of welfare or off of vocational rehabilitation support, it's good for the taxpayer, as well as being a very humanitarian action on our part. It is obvious, though, that those folks have some rather strong feelings in opposition to what we've been trying to do. My only, I guess, conclusion, Mr. Chairman, is that there obviously is a good deal of concern, and there obviously is a good deal of concern on the part of Senator Failey and Senator Burbidge, such that it alarms me. I think I'm concerned about this amount of concern, if you will. It alarms me that we have this kind of concern. It also alarms me that these problems could not be sorted out through the normal contract negotiations between our two organizations. And I don't know what you would like to do. The letter suggests that there be full-scale hearings, and I'm certainly very willing to do that. It would concern me to have you report my budget out only to receive a great deal of criticism and opposition because of this matter. And if you believe it, as suggested by Senator Fadley, that full-scale hearings should be held, I would be very willing to do anything that you feel helpful in trying to resolve this issue.
Well, I wasn't aware. The fact that it is needed, I got it yesterday, so I gave it to Steve.
Mr. Chairman, would that include members of the legislature too?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with the banana peel that I said?
Well, I think this is one of the realistic problems of what Garten would like for us to do is, and the recycling people in general, is to have one for good white paper and then one for colored paper and garbage. And it's just not practical to sit there and make that decision at your desk each.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't found where it's critical of you. I wish you'd point that out to me. I found several papers, but I don't see anything.
Well, look at
you're reading something into it that I'm not making.
Look at the last page summary.
Page.
You know, the last page summary. Department wants to go to a mixed collection system. It's been demonstrated to be unfeasible. And I accept that it is unfeasible in depressed markets, as they point out. That's why we did not require them to do it for the next 6 months. We have rules and procedures in place, but we're not pushing them. There's little awareness. We need to more actively promote current rules, and we need to accept the current basic contract provision of a white paper separation, which is the two-basket type approach.
Where do you get most of your paper from? Surely not from my office. That's the point I make.
No.
I don't throw anything away. I file everything, even the envelope, so I'll have the address.
All these buildings on the mall, we get paper out of them.
And, tons of it?
Yes.
A day?
Probably not a day, probably a week. I don't have off the top of my head what the volume is.
And it's all... And it is mixed. Mm-hmm.
Well, we are today. We try to separate it into white and non-white.
But you want to go to the mixed paper system?
I would like to go to the mixed paper system for two reasons. One, it would delete the requirement that our employees sit there and make a decision of which basket to go in. And secondly, we'd have all paper go into recycling, not just white paper.
Why, instead of having the employees do that, you know, I'm just chatting with you now. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've seen this, mm-hmm. and I had no idea that this is one of the top priorities for the two people that have signed this. But why not have one employee sort through all the paper that, you know?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Simpson.
Yes.
This was, I just promoted you to that.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
This is precisely what I thought was an appropriate action. I hate to have our employees doing this. I'd much rather Garden Foundation hire a handicapped individual in a sheltered workshop environment. We pay for whatever their costs are, if you will, indirectly, because... Let me back up. If we were to send this paper to a private commercial firm, okay, we would get a great deal more money than we get from Garden Foundation. It is my judgment. Garden Foundation is the shelf workshop here in Salem.
Oh, okay.
Now, the legislature has authorized us in the past to do special projects with sheltered workshops.
Yes.
There's a statute on that. It is my judgment that it is in the taxpayer's interest that we... have this recycling project with Garten rather than sending it to the private sector and getting more money that I could get from a private firm than I can get from Garten.
Sorted or unsorted?
Sorted or unsorted.
All right.
But the fact of the matter is that if I send this paper to Garten, they can hire handicapped individuals that otherwise would be dependent upon the taxpayers. They can be rehabilitated, provided a job, and hopefully work themselves back into the private market. Part of this strategy is that it seems to me to make good sense that they take all the paper, not half of it, that I get less money from them than I'm getting now, but they take that and hire a handicapped individual who would otherwise be dependent upon the public. Now, Garten, and you're only getting one side of the story. Bear in mind, as this letter was only one side of the story, I'm now giving you only my side of the story. And Garten Foundation has some realistic problems that they have to contend with, which is, how much money can they get on the marketplace for the paper? And right now it's not enough to sustain this mixed collection system, which we recognize. And on the basis of that, we said to them, okay, we won't do the mixed system for the next 6 months. We just set it aside. And we'll continue to do it on a white paper only system, which is what Garten wants. Garten would like to have us, however, do more sorting in our buildings. The white paper that now gets inadvertently dumped in a wastebasket, they want us to do something different to ensure that that does not go in a wastebasket, but it goes into a recycled barrel instead. And that is the employee effort that I don't feel is a productive effort for our employees.
Okay. No, I don't think so either. Is this recycled paper out here in the basement on the landing out here in these big round barrels?
I'm not sure exactly what you're pointing to, but we use big round barrels provided by the Garten Foundation.
Well, in the garage.
Probably.
Down here. And is there someone in the Capitol that sorts that? There isn't.
I don't believe so, but...
Those big barrels go to Garden Foundation, and they sort it there?
That's the principle. Now, I can't really tell you what happens with the legislature. I'm not familiar enough personally with the legislature to answer the question. But if you go over to the public service building, you would find these big round barrels that we put in the basement, and the Garden Foundation comes by each morning and picks these barrels up. They take them out there, they bale it, and they sell it. And then we get some money back from them.
Couldn't you put one of the Garden Foundation people in each building and let them sort it rather than...
It'd be fine with me.
If you want me to sort it, you're going to be up against a lot of problems. Because I'd throw banana peelings and everything, apple cores and everything else in there.
I want to write your name down.
Write it down. You know, I just can't get excited about that. Mr. Chairman, I understand it better now than I did when I first picked this up. I can tell you that.
So. I think what I better do, I'll talk to Senator Fahey, and I'll talk to Senator Burbidge. And at least we took a look at their problem.
Does this have any relation, I'm sorry that I had this called out, but have any relations to that little bill that was trying to force us to buy the paper too?
No, I don't think
that. Isn't that by the Garden Foundation?
Well,
too?
They happen to, I don't know if Garden Foundation does, but an individual from Garden Foundation testified against that bill that I've introduced. But these are different issues.
They're different all.
Totally different issues.
What bill did you introduce? Excuse me. I haven't found that.
Well, they had a bill that said that we had to buy this recycled paper at more money than what we were paying for regular paper, and that we had to use a certain percentage. And he wants to say that it should be competitive. You know, why should?
Yeah, it could be as much as 15-20% more. And the fact of the matter is that all the recycled paper that we're buying right now is from out-of-state mills. It's not even our Oregon firms that are getting the benefit of this effort. And I guess I have to tell you, Mr. Chairman, I feel like my staff feel like we're being pulled about 9 different ways on some of these issues. But I'm really concerned, Mr. Chairman, about the hard feelings that are being generated by this, and I would do anything.
I think probably they brought a question to Senator Fahey and Senator Griffiths, and maybe pass it on to us.
Well, I would not want to jeopardize our position with this committee or with the leadership, and if there's anything that you think we should be doing, I'd be most interested in.
I just wanted to ask him a question. Is it not true that if you got right down to the nuts and bolts of the thing, that it would be a lot cheaper to pay them to separate it than it would be to have an employee out here separating things?
I believe so, and that's what I kept telling them.
What they're really complaining about is the cyclical thing that we go through.
Yes.
Where you can't get rid of the papers, and some days it is feasible for them to do it because the price is high enough so that they can pay somebody to do that. Now we're down to where it's just a drug in the market,
right.
So they don't like the yellow paper. And
right.
But they love the stuff that comes out of the computers, and they love the...
Sure, because they don't have to do anything. there have been a good number of... When the paper market is high, they have made a great deal of money off the state.
Yeah. Well, and I got in, you know, I might relate something. There's another company called Clayton Ward. We want to really... you were talking about this whole thing where I got drug in the middle of this thing from the private sector as to how the whole thing got started in the first place. And when we get back to that, we could really drag up some skeletons and talk about the whole process. And so I guess I have been approached by these people because they're in my district, and it's a operation. You get kind of torn because they do have these people out there that they're trying to mainstream, so to speak, and it's a worthy project, but it's costing us money. And when you get down to a situation like this, you have some difficulties.